Bismillah, alhamdulillah. You're listening to CMR, Calgary Muslim Radio. This is your host, Yusuf Estes, National Muslim Chaplain from Washington, D.C. I'm here with you today on the by the auspices of CMR Radio, broadcasting here in Calgary, Canada. And I got to tell you something. I'm enjoying doing this program. We've been talking about the Big Bang. The Big Bang Theory, the idea that everything came out of nothing and no way to explain it. I think that takes a real act of faith. What do you think? Somebody come up with an idea like that and then try to promote it. No proof. Just everything came from nothing and then it just happened and what you see is what you get. Okay, I know. I'm making fun of the atheists. So they make fun of us. So what can I tell you? We love everybody. So we've been comparing on our website. We have a website. It's called IslamTomorrow.com. If you haven't been catching these programs, you need to do that. Contact the station. Tell them you want to get the copies of the ones before. Check out our website for a rebroadcast of these programs. It's called Islam Tomorrow. IslamTomorrow.com. And basically what we're doing, we're sharing for the benefit of those who are believers in Almighty God, whether they be Jewish or Christian, Hindu, Muslim. But we're sharing that the idea, the concept of everything coming out of nothing is really pretty preposterous. And that in fact, there is a lot of evidence that there is God. He does exist. He does communicate with us. And he is letting us know what's up. And how he has done that is through something called his recitation. In Arabic, it's called the Quran, and that's what we've been referring to in this little series. And this is the third in the series. We're going to continue it and talk about what the Quran says on the development of the human being. This is cool. This is one of the coolest cools of all when it comes to talking about the science in the Quran. Because it's talking about us, man. Talking about who we are, where we came from, what we're made out of. What about us? Are we part of creation? Did we come from monkeys? How did we begin? What develops us? What evolves us? And humans do change. There's, you know, we change in height, or we change in stature, we adjust or adapt to our environments, etc. So what develops us and causes us to live and die? How are we sustained? Let's find out. What does the Quran say about the human embryonic development? Embryo, by the way, it's the, you know, the little small thing of, in the egg, and it's the little small thing that starts us up. Allah said in the Quran, now keep in mind, this is 1400 years ago, it's never been changed. Quran is the speech of Allah, never been changed. We still have the original, just as it was 1400 years ago. Allah speaks about the stages of man's embryonic development 1400 years ago, before modern day scientists ever, quote unquote, discovered important information on the creation of man and his development. Listen to what Allah says. This is in his book, chapter 23 of the Quran, verses 12, 13, and 14. Allah said, "And we created man from an extract of clay. Then we made him as a drop in a place of settlement firmly fixed. Then we made the drop into an alaqa," which means a leech-like suspended clinging thing and a blood clot. Okay, alaqa. "Then we made the alaqa into a mudgha." Mudgha means a chewed-like substance, like you chew bubblegum or something like that. Now, literally, in the Arabic language, the word alaqa has three meanings. Leech, you know, the little animal that gets on you when you're swimming in the Amazon River and sucks your blood out. A suspended thing, something hanging or clinging. And a blood clot. Those three meanings. If you look it up in the Ma'arid, Arabic dictionary, that's what I'm going to tell you. Number one. In comparing a leech to the embryo at the alaqa stage, we find similarity between the two. A leech, the shape of a leech compared to an embryo. Now, this is from the science book, Developing Human, page 8. In comparing a leech to the embryo at the stage of alaqa, we find similarity between the two. Continuing, same book, No, this is in human development as described in Quran and Sunnah, page 36. Also, the embryo, as this stage, obtains nourishment from the blood of the mother, similar to the way a leech feeds on the blood of the host or others. So the same way that a leech attaches itself to an animal in the water and pulls blood out of it to sustain itself, the same that happens when a child is being conceived inside of the womb of the mother. The clot attaches to the wall of the uterus and begins to pull in nourishment from the blood. Okay, number two. That was number one. This is number two. The second meaning of the word alaka is something suspended or clinging or hanging. The suspension of the embryo during the alaka stage in the womb of the mother very appropriately fits this description. The third meaning, number three, of the word alaka is a blood clot. We find that the external appearance of the embryo and its sacs during the alaka stage is similar to that of a blood clot. This is due to the presence of relatively large amounts of blood present in the embryo during this stage. Also during this stage, the blood in the embryo does not circulate until the end of the third week. So that is why the embryo is like a large clot of blood. It's not a circulating type of system going on. It's just collecting it like a blood clot. Think about that. These three things describe exactly what is inside of the mother. Now you might be saying, well, so what? What's the big deal? Well, you find out. By examining a diagram of the primitive cardiovascular system in an embryo during the alaka stage, we notice the external appearance of the embryo and its sac is similar to that of a blood clot due to the presence of relatively large amounts of blood present in the embryo. Now that's again from the book The Developing Human, page 65. So the three meanings of the word alaka correspond accurately to the descriptions of the embryo at the alaka stage. That's all we're trying to do here. We're just trying to set that up for you so that you get the idea of what we're talking about. What we're saying here is this word alaka, the three meanings, all three of the word meanings of the word alaka very appropriately fit this creation of the human being. The next stage mentioned in the verse is the mudga stage. The Arabic word mudga means chewed-like substance. If somebody were to take a piece of gum, chew it up in their mouth, then compare it with what the embryo looks like at the mudga stage, he would conclude that they're almost identical because of the somites in the back of the embryo that somewhat resembled teeth marks and a chewed substance. Here's the question. How could anybody living in a desert 1400 years ago possibly have known what the scientists only recently discovered? Using advanced equipment, powerful microscopes that didn't exist at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first two scientists to observe human sperm cells using an improved microscope in the year 1677 AD. Now that's more than 1,000 years after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They mistakenly thought that the sperm cell contained a miniature preformed human being that grew when it was deposited into the female genital tract. And by the way, what I just quoted to you is again from the book Developing Human, page 9. Let's talk about Professor Dr. Keith Moore. Those of you in Canada might appreciate the fact he's from Toronto. He's the world's eminent scientist in the field of anatomy and embryology. He's the author of a book entitled Developing Human, the one we've been reading to you, which has been translated, by the way, into 8 different languages. This book is considered a scientific reference work, and it was chosen by a special committee in the United States as the best book authored by one person. Dr. Keith Moore, professor of anatomy, cell biology, University of Toronto, Toronto, Canada. 1984, he received the most distinguished award presented in the field of anatomy in Canada, the JCB Grant Award from the Canadian Association of Anatomists. He has directed many international associations, such as the Canadian and American Association of Anatomists and the Council of the Union of Biology Sciences. In 1981, during the 7th Medical Conference in Dammam, Saudi Arabia, Dr. Keith Moore said, listen to this, "It has been a great deal of pleasure for me to help clarify statements in the Quran about human development. It is clear to me that these statements must have come to Muhammad from God or Allah, because almost all of this knowledge was not discovered until many centuries later. This proves to me that Muhammad must have been the messenger of God or Allah." Now, if you'd like to hear him say that himself, that's recorded. It's on our website. It's on our website. You can watch the video and see him talking, addressing this group of people in 1981. You can watch for yourself. Consequently, Professor Moore was asked the following question: "Does this mean that you believe in the Quran, that it's the word of God?" Look what he said. He said, "I find no difficulty in accepting this." During one conference, Professor Moore stated, this is his words, "Because the stage of human embryosis is complex, owing to the continuous process of change during development, it is proposed that a new system of classification could be developed using the terms mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." This is his saying. He's proposing this. He continues. He says, "The proposed system is simple, comprehensive, and conforms with present embryological knowledge. The intensive studies of the Quran and the Hadith," these are the reliably transmitted sayings and reports of Muhammad, peace be upon him, he's saying, "the intensive studies of the Quran and Hadith in the last 4 years have revealed a system of classifying human embryos that is amazing, since it was recorded in the 7th century AD, over 1400 years ago." I'm going to keep quoting from Dr. Keith Moore. He says, "Although Eric Statel, the founder of the science of embryology, realized that chicken embryos developed in stages from his studies of hen's eggs in the 4th century, now that's BC, he did not give any details about these stages. As far as it is known from the history of embryology, little was known about the staging and classification of human embryos until the 20th century. For this reason, the descriptions of the human embryo in the Quran cannot be based on scientific knowledge of the 7th century. The only reasonable conclusion," he's saying this, "is that these descriptions were revealed to Muhammad from God. He could not have known such details because he was an illiterate man with no scientific training." And that's the quote from Dr. Keith Moore. Amazing. Now, what did Allah say in the Quran? The first of all things to be revealed from the Quran was the beautiful verse when the angel Gabriel came to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and recited these words to him.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, recite in the name of your Lord who has created. He has created man from a clot, an alaq. Recite, and your Lord is most generous, who has taught the use of the pen. He's taught man that which he did not know. From these first five verses of Surah Alaq, chapter 96 of the Quran, which actually were the very beginning words that came to Muhammad 1400 years ago, we find that Allah has described our very existence from the beginning. He's described to us without doubt something that the top embryologists of the world has confirmed, that it's impossible that Muhammad could have made this up himself. Without doubt, this is the communication of our own Creator to us, and the evidence is clear, so that we know who is speaking to us, and by what authority. It is Almighty Allah, the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe, who has revealed this message to us, and has told us that He has taught us what we didn't know. He's taught us by the use of the pen. And he's the one who is the most generous. And he's the one that created us from this alaqa. The alaqa that's been talked about in our program tonight. The alaqa discussed by Dr. Keith Moore. What more evidences do we need? But yet there is more. We'll come to our next one. Think about human beings. How did we get here? What is the nature of mankind? What causes us to act like we act? Are we ungrateful to the one that created us, the one that sustains us? What is this clue? What do you think about yourself? Did you create yourself? You're listening to CMR, that's the Calgary Muslim Radio. This is Yusuf Estes, and we're exploring the subject of the Big Bang versus what Islam is teaching from the Quran. We're on our website at islamtomorrow.com. islamtomorrow.com, and we're reading from a page called bigbang.htm. So go to our website, put the slash mark after it, and then type bigbang.htm and read it for yourself. I'm at the bottom of the page. The last one, the Quran on the cerebrum. Cerebrum is the forehead area of the brain. It's the front part of the brain in our head for human beings. What or who created this? Who sustains everything? How do organisms reproduce themselves? How can a tree grow out of a seed? These are things for us to think about. We're going to take a look. The Quran on the cerebrum. Allah says in the Quran about one of the evil unbelievers. This is a person named Abu Jahl, who forbade the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from praying in front of the holy place, the holy mosque in Mecca, the Kaaba. And then Allah says, in the same surah, the same chapter of the Quran, chapter 96, it's toward the end of it, it says, let him beware if he does not desist. Allah will take him by the nasiya, which means the front of the head. The lying, sinful nasiya, front of the head. Chapter 96, verse 15, 16. Why did Allah describe in the Quran the front of the head as being lying and sinful. Why? Why didn't the Quran say that the person is lying and sinful? What is the relationship between the front of the head and lying and sin? If we look into the skull at the front of the head, we find the prefrontal area of the cerebrum in the area we call the forehead. What does physiology tell us about the function of this area? Now, there's a book entitled Essentials of Anatomy and Physiology, and this is what it says about this area. The motivation and the foresight to plan and to initiate movements occurs in the anterior portion of frontal lobes, the prefrontal area. This is a region of association cortex, also the book says, in relation to its involvement in motivation. The prefrontal area is also thought to be the functional center for aggression. So basically what they're saying is this area of the head, the cerebrum, is responsible for planning, motivating, and initiating good and bad sinful behavior. This is the area of the brain that's responsible for telling lies or speaking the truth. So it is proper for the telling of lies and the speaking of truth. That means the Quran has described the right part of the head, the front part of the head, as lying and sinful when associated with one who is a liar or a sinner, as the Quran says, the lying, sinful nasiya, front of the head. Now, scientists have only discovered these functions of the prefrontal area in the last 60 years, and this is according to Professor Dr. Moore, the same one who spoke to us on the subject of embryology. Let's do a wrap-up on this and think about what we've been talking about. First part of our program, in part one, this is part three, we discussed the Big Bang and how that it's really not practical. It's not even imaginable. There's too many holes in the concepts that have been offered there. Then we talked about the idea that everything did come out of some smoke at one period of time. And in fact, we have evidence for this from the Quran. We talked about how it is Allah who creates whatever there is. And we talked about how that He has shown us that and demonstrated that by revealing to us the Quran 1400 years ago, and some of the sciences that we're now discovering and talking about have been mentioned in Quran so long ago that it's impossible that anybody could have made this up. So we've got clear proof. We have evidence, testable evidence, and that's what science is about, testable evidence. We have the Quran. The Quran is with us. We can look to the Quran and see for ourselves. He tells us who He is. He tells us what our status in life is. I think it's important, whether you're a Muslim or not Muslim, I think everyone listening to my voice should consider this. If you don't have a Quran in a language you read, then you need to get one. We'd like to help you out. I can't guide you. This isn't possible in Islam. We don't believe that we can guide anybody. We believe that it's only the Creator that made us in the first place that's ever going to guide anybody. But we would like to offer what help we can by suggesting you can visit our internet website to get more information like this. And by the way, if you don't have a Quran, we'd be happy to help you get one. Here's how you can do it. Go to our website, islamtomorrow.com. Put a slash, then type the word free. Take you right to the page where we have Quran, which you can download free. Hadiths, the sayings and teachings of Muhammad, peace be upon him, in many forms, Bukhari, Muslim, Sunan of Abu Dawud, the Muwatta of Imam Malik, etc. You can just go to our website, check it out. It's free, don't cost anything. And then, what if you learned something new today? What if you took some benefit from this? What if you just satisfied your curiosity? What if you find a new way to live?
Inshallah, God willing, if God wills, we'll be back with more programs like this.
If you're enjoying the program, you want more like this, let the people know. Call them up. Talk to them. Tell them. Send them an email. Write a letter. Send a fax. That's CMR, Calgary Muslim Radio. And this is your host, Yusuf Estes, National Muslim Chapter in Washington, D.C., signing off for now. And I'm not going to say nanu nanu, but I will say to you, assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi barakatuh.